The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there were two men. They saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I went to a conference on Monday at Eastlake First United Methodist Church in downtown Birmingham on First Street North. The building likely stood tall and proud in previous decades. But on Monday, there was a sad and depressed look to the building and to the surrounding neighborhood. My meeting was held in the basement of the church, and it was just like what you would imagine an old church building basement would look like. The floors were linoleum, and there was tape on the floor marking old shuffleboard and foursquare courts. There was an old stage up at the front. The ceiling had water damage, and the tiles were stained and sagging. Pipes formed a maze across the ceiling and up the walls. The chairs were the ones that I remember from my youth, those old metal folding chairs that squeaked when you opened them, made loud noises as you dragged them across the linoleum. And they were stacked in those long rows on carts that had wheels. You likely remember those chairs. I can't help but wander when I'm in a church building, so the basement didn't hold my attention for long. I walked up the long wooden staircase to the sanctuary. There the sun was shining in through absolutely beautiful stained glass windows, and it was breathtaking. There were polished wooden pews, the red carpet of an era long gone by, and the incredible pipes of a clearly beloved pipe organ. What struck me in the sanctuary, though, was a small altar that sat at the front. It was a very simple table, and it was covered with a red cloth. On top of the table stood a cross, which was covered with broken and jagged glass. Behind the cross sat a very large mirror, which was again framed with broken glass. I was drawn to that mirror to look at my own reflection, but I couldn't see myself without seeing the cross. Despite my brokenness, I couldn't see myself without seeing God. Moses went high up on the mountain in our text today, and things happen on mountains. The Celts call mountaintops the thin space, that space where the door is cracked open just a bit between this world and the next. It's holy space. Moses stayed on the mountain for 40 days fasting. This was a time for Moses to receive the Ten Commandments and also to prepare for the work that God had called him to do. He spent those 40 days alone talking with God. Being close to God, he gained strength and was filled with God's presence. When Moses finally came down from the mountain, his face was shining from the encounter. He'd seen God and was filled with God's presence, and now his face reflected that glory of God. Have you ever been so happy that you just can't help but grin from ear to ear? So happy that that happiness just bursts out from inside of you? I see Moses that way. So filled with the presence of God that he just can't help but shine. What's interesting, though, is that Moses didn't realize his skin was shining. But Aaron and the Israelites do. We can't always see the glory of God in ourselves either. Sometimes we think we're not worthy. Why would God love me? Sometimes others tell us we're not worthy, and we believe it. The reason that I was at Eastlake First UMC this week was for something called a Fearless Dialogue. These dialogues have been held with over 50,000 people in the last 5 years. The program gathers a very diverse group of people and then structures the time together for people to simply talk with each other. One of the most interesting activities was talking about the times when we have been made to feel invisible. Think about it. When have you walked into a room and no one noticed you were there? When have you been intentionally ignored? When have you felt worthless? The woman I sat next to on Monday shared that when she was 10, her grandmother was admitted to a local hospital. At the time, blacks were cared for in the basement wards. While her grandfather had to work, this young girl was taken every day to the hospital so that there would be someone who could stay with her grandmother. Now in her 60s, she still vividly remembers staring all day at the cement walls and floors. But she also remembers that not a soul spoke with her. A young black girl in the early 60s, she was invisible. When I think about it, I can still feel the sting of being invisible in high school during lunch period. I had no friends to sit with, and no one seemed to care. We may be invisible in our own family. We may be invisible because we're a woman in a man's world or an old person in an age of youth. We may have different opinions which people don't want to hear. We may look different. We may even be too smart or not smart enough. The exercise we did at the conference was to share these stories about being invisible, but then we had to do something about it. We had to sit knee to knee and look into the eyes of another person. We had to communicate without words, but only with a long, loving look, that the one who sat across from us wasn't invisible, but was a beloved child of God. We communicated that we could see the presence of God shining from deep within that person. This exercise, as you can imagine, evoked all sorts of different emotions, especially since none of us knew each other. Some had been raised to never, ever, ever stare into another person's eyes, and they couldn't do it. Others were embarrassed that someone was looking at them. Were they worthy? One said she prayed for the person while she looked, and what she found was beautiful. Another was brought to tears, sensing a love and a worth that she had never experienced before. Sometimes when we look in the mirror, we too can't see the reflection of God in ourselves. We may have erased the reflection of God in ourselves, or someone else may have erased it for us. That's why we need to be in God's presence. That's why we need each other. Every Wednesday, the preschoolers from our chapel at Faith gather in here, and we sing the song, "This Little Light of Mine." The second verse, which is definitely the children's favorite, is, "Put it under a bushel." No! I'm going to let it shine. Although that verse is very, very fun to sing, there's actually a touch of defiance in there. No one, not even us, should stop, cover up, or ignore the presence of God that is deep within us. When we stand in the presence of God as Moses did, as Jesus did with the disciples, we too will reflect the glory of God. In this place, during the confession and forgiveness, when we say we confess our sins in the presence of God and one another, when we sing that beautiful song, "Surely the presence of God, of the Lord is in this place," we state that without a doubt, God is present here and with us. When we spend time here, like Moses spent on the mountain, we too will reflect the glory of God. I see God's presence in the children who reach out their hands to greet adults during the sharing of the peace. Look into their eyes. You will see the presence of God. I see God's presence in all of us who take the body and blood of Christ, allowing that meal to strengthen and nourish us in our call. I tell those who assist with communion to look into the eyes, sharing the love of Christ while seeing the presence of God in that person. I experience God's presence when we recite the Lord's Prayer, some speaking with authority, some barely able to speak the words. God's presence is all over that prayer. God's presence is in this place. God is in us. So this week, imagine that you're at East Lake First United Methodist Church, standing in front of their altar, staring into the mirror surrounded by broken glass. You won't be able to see your image unless you see the cross. You won't be able to deny that you too are filled and shining with the presence of God. Believe it. Amen.